I started my own business, and for 5 years, I basically had to prove that it was going to work. And people started asking me, how'd you do it? You know, can you help me start my own? Can I pay you? Like, what do you, someone asked, well, what do you charge? And I was like, what do you mean? What do I charge? I was just trying to teach what I knew. And now today I've helped thousands of businesses get started. I've helped launch thousands of physical therapy businesses in person and online. And I spend most of my time coaching and consulting.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to 6 figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. And as always, I try to bring you guys some super cool and fascinating guests. And today's guest is in an industry of someone I don't think that I've had on the podcast yet. So this will be an interesting perspective for me to learn and hear about how somebody transitioned from doing this thing to kind of coaching and consulting on this thing. And we'll get into what that thing actually is. But I'm pretty stoked to have Mr. Aaron LeBauer on the podcast today. So Aaron, welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, my man.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Cool, dude. So to tee up this conversation, Aaron, why don't we just set some foundation so we know who you are, where you came from, and really, like, what do you do now, and how'd you get into that? And then we'll start to unpack it.
Yeah, well, let's see. I'm a Sagittarius. You know, if that has any bearing on anything, I graduated college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, I went to see 3 career advisors. They all said, go see another career advisor. And I was like, well, okay, I guess that's not for me. And I moved out to California. I slept on a couch for 6 weeks in the rain because it was the only couch that I had available, because we thought you could just rent a place. But in 1997, you couldn't just rent a place in San Francisco. I did that for a while. I worked as a temp. I became a bike messenger. And then I became a massage therapist, because that was going to give me the freedom to race my bicycle, which is really what I wanted to do. And then after doing massage for 6 years, I knew I was helping people who had been to see everyone, you know, physical therapists, massage therapists, chiropractors, surgeons, medications, injections, et cetera. They said, Aaron, you're the first person to touch me where I hurt and have helped me. I was like, wow, that's weird. That's not the way it's supposed to be, but okay. And my wife encouraged me to go back to school to become a physical therapist. So in California, that wasn't going to be possible because of the prerequisite requirements out there. But we ended up moving back across the country to North Carolina. And I got into school with 1 point more right on the GRE than I needed. And I took 2 classes and went to Elon. And
That sounds about like me. I got the exact score I needed on the SAT to get into college, like right. Literally on the dot. And I'd already paid to take it again. Yeah. And I was like, nope, I'm good.
Right.
I'm good.
Right. So my journey, like, I've done a lot of, so there's a lot in there that I've left out, but those are some of the interesting pieces. I mean, I was asked one day as a temp, basically to refile some things, and the woman walked me through the alphabet. And I'm like, you know, I've graduated from college, right? Like, I know this. But I went along that path, and I decided to become a physical therapist. And I was in a clinical rotation one day, and I saw 43 patients one day. And 43 patients is a lot of people. That's 4 to 6 people an hour for 9.5 hours. And the reason I became a PT was because patients had already told me that it wasn't working for them. I knew I needed to do it better. And in that environment, I realized it was just driven by insurance reimbursement. I can't do that. So what I decided to do was start my own business right out of school without relying on insurance companies. And everyone told me it's crazy. It's never going to work. And it was also in 2009 at the bottom of the recession. And so people were like, oh, no one's going to pay more than their copay for physical therapy. And I agree with them. People don't pay for physical therapy. They pay for a life-changing transformation. So I started my own business. And for 5 years, I basically had to prove that it was going to work. And people started asking me, how'd you do it? You know, can you help me start my own? Can I pay you? Like, someone asked, well, what do you charge? And I was like, what do you mean, what do I charge? I was just trying to teach what I knew. And now today, I've helped thousands of businesses get started. I've helped launch thousands of physical therapy businesses, in person and online. And I spend most of my time coaching and consulting because I enjoy it. But I also have a clinic here in Greensboro where I've been spending more time in the last 3 months because of the pandemic than the last 3 years. But I love it. And I'm on a mission to help people avoid unnecessary surgery. And I really want them to know that when they tweak their back or tweak their neck or wake up with a crick in their neck, they need to come see a physical therapist first and not go get an x-ray or MRI.
So you said there that you were teaching people stuff online, like what exactly? And then somebody was like, hey, will you take my money? Like right. How, like what were you teaching people? Like what happened there?
Yeah. So this was about 8 or 9 years ago when LinkedIn forums were big and like online forums were still places where people went. And so there were some physical therapy industry forums and people were asking questions about, well, what happens if I don't want to use insurance. My patients don't use insurance. And I want to just charge them the same day or charge them cash, or how do we do that? And I would just say, hey, let me be helpful and help you, because business owners were isolated. We might be surrounded by employees, but we're really isolated from other business owners. So I was just helping them and answering questions. And this is before Facebook groups, but in a similar way that people do it in Facebook groups. I was just being helpful to other people, helping them, you know, with how do they find new patients or get new customers, or, you know, do this whole lead marketing, like with how do they create an ebook? People are like, I don't get the whole ebook thing. What do I do? And I would kind of help them through it just because I enjoyed it and I wanted to pass it on. But so many people started having the same questions that I started putting it into blog posts and created a blog with this information that just kind of helped me save my time. You know.
And when somebody offered to pay you for that first time, that was like a light bulb moment for you?
Yeah. So what happened around then was, I want to say it was like January. I can't remember which year, but it was like January, February. It was in the winter. And I said to my wife, I was like, you know, these two people, like Jennifer and John, two of my classmates from PT school had asked me, you know, Aaron, how are you doing this? And I spent an hour with them on the phone. I gave them the whole formula, like how to set it up, the whole marketing system I was using, et cetera. And I said, you know, Andra, I was like, man, she's like, what's wrong? I was like, well, they didn't even say thank you. I was like, I spent 3 or 4 years, you know, figuring all this stuff out and they didn't say thank you. And then the next day I had a pre-scheduled time. And I was speaking with this woman who just found me through LinkedIn. And at the end, she said, thanks, Aaron. She's like, well, how much do I owe you? And I was like, well, what do you mean? How much do you owe me? And she was like, yeah, well, what do you charge your patients? And I told her and she said, well, I'll just pay you that. And I was like, okay. And then, yeah, that was the light bulb moment. I was like, okay. So I wrote it down. I was like, this is what I charge for an hour of consulting. I was like, $125, you know, this, boom. And I was like, all right. Now, like I don't know if at that point I had had my blog, but that's when I realized I had to start doing something. And I had this like tangible thing that people wanted to learn from. And then I wouldn't say it snowballed from there, but it built from there, piece after piece.
Yeah, I know that like just getting that first like dollar can be like the biggest win, right? Because then it's like all the possibilities like just all of a sudden like open up to you. You're like, holy crap, somebody will pay me for this. Right. Like, it was the same thing with us. Like, the first thing that we sold in our agency was, it was either a $3,500 or $4,000 package. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had launched a product on Kickstarter. I had done some things, but I'd never sold like that much at one time. And I was just like, oh man, like this person, like, now we actually have to like do this thing that right. they you know, like, so like, but it just opened up this whole new world of possibility for me. Now you showed me before we got started chit chatting. We were talking about some of the common people that we knew and you showed me the book .com Secrets.
Right.
Like when did that whole, so for those of you that don't know, .com Secrets is a book and now a trilogy of books from the co-founder of ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson. and it's a book that I've read and that, you know, Aaron has read as well. When did that book come in the picture and how did that kind of shape things for you?
Yeah, that book came in the picture a little bit later. I had been doing a lot of the same stuff. My first marketing book that I ever bought or read was Guerrilla Marketing by J. Conrad Levinson. And this was back in 1999 when I got that book, when the internet was young, but you had to have a website in San Francisco. And so it was a couple years into having this consulting and coaching business. And I already had an online course set up and, you know, running really well. But I had run into...
And this was in 99 that you
had a course? So in 99 is my first marketing course, my first marketing book. So in 2014, 15. So I sold my first online product in 2013. It was a digital download. And I believe that one was called the Cash PT Toolkit. I also had a blogging for physical therapists. I was teaching physical therapists how to blog and it was $37 or something like that, a course, like a mini course. But it wasn't like a course like we would know today. It was more of a PDF type of course. So maybe it was 2014 or 2015. I have a 9-module course called the Cash PT Blueprint. And I already had that. And I had been using webinars and, you know, I had followed Russell Brunson, but I think he was launching .com secrets or maybe he'd already done it. And I finally was like, look, I got time. I'll buy it. And I was reading through it and I've got all my notes in the margin. And he's got one section in there. He's like, copy this email and send it out. And I set it up as an automated email to get people to my evergreen webinars. And that was a big game changer right there. It was just like, that was like passive income where I had to put in some work and I had to have the pieces, but putting them all together and having someone like Russell explain it in the easy way that he does made it make sense. And I was like, this is a no brainer and boom. And it was like, I was sold then, you know.
That's awesome. So do you still run that webinar today?
Yeah, I just did a brand new version of it last Thursday. Prior to that, it was in October and I've got it running all the time. So you come in and you get one of my free downloads and then you go into my attractive character automation sequence, right? It's like I have an automated sequence of emails that run you through just this, who is Aaron LeBauer introduction, here's my story, et cetera. By the way, here's this thing I've made for you and it's a link to my free webinar. You go get on my free webinar, you spend an hour and a half with me. You know, some people are going to buy into my program right then because it's exactly what they want. And it's all automated. And that's probably by the time they've done that, they're probably at least 12 to 15 touches, if not more, because of the numbers of emails they've got, the video and everything before that, where they get in touch with me.
Nice. How long did it take you to put that webinar together originally?
Originally, when I started doing webinars, that was why I worked with another physical therapist turned digital marketer, John Schumacher, and I was doing interview webinars. So I started doing, I built my email list doing live interviews. So now I do a podcast much like you. I pre-record it and boom, but when we put it up on iTunes and everything, I used to use Webinar Jam to do interviews and I'd invite people to come watch the live interview and I'd build my email list like that. I don't know if that works as well now in 2020 as it did in 2015, but 2015 it was gangbusters. And so I was used to doing that and I was like, well, I've got this course. I need to actually sell my course. So let me go figure out how to do webinars. So there were a couple different places and people who I learned how to do webinars from. And I started piecing together stuff from like James Wedmore and Lewis Howes and Russell Brunson and a couple other people. And I'd go watch them, buy stuff myself and piece together the webinar. And it was tough. The first couple of times I sold more on email than I did on the webinars, but eventually I was able to get a lot of people on the webinars and get them to enroll in the course, which I knew was what they needed. And then, you know, you find a webinar that works really great and you put it on automation and it just keeps working and it's awesome. Like I know John Lee Dumas did weekly webinars for a long time. I was on a bunch of his. I never bought his program, but I was there to study what he was doing because at the time I didn't want to buy a podcast. I didn't want to start a podcast. So I was like, well, I'm not going to get a podcast course just because I want to start. Yeah. I don't want to start a podcast, but I was there to listen. And I went through all that studying, you know, what Russell would call funnel hacking, right? To put together my webinars the way I did it. And I've been doing it for a long time, and people say you can't, you know, webinars aren't as effective, but right now we're in a video economy, a video sales economy, and webinars are just as effective now as they've ever been.
Yeah. A lot of our clients have told us that their webinars are crushing it right now with all that's going on in the world with the virus and the pandemic and all that. So we've got several clients that they had an evergreen webinar and now they're doing it live again.
Yeah.
They're every day they're just running it, or not every day. I'm sorry. Every week they're doing a live webinar and just kind of changing the message. So yeah, it definitely seems like webinars are still crushing it nowadays.
I mean, I had my early April, I had one of my largest webinars I've had in 5 years. Like webinar attendees and registrations have gone down because they've become more popular. In April, it was like we had another one where I think we had 800 people register, and I haven't had that many people register since 2015, maybe, because when they were new. And, you know, and now in the last 2 months, you know, there's fatigue going on and people don't want to get on. But they like short, their shorter form webinars are working really well. But I want to point out one thing that I've made a mistake with webinars before. And I had one that worked really well. And I thought I'd listen to my audience. And they said, oh, we want you to teach us how to market. So I created a marketing webinar and a course for them. And no one wanted it. They didn't really like it. They didn't really want to do the work.
Why do you think that is?
I think that what I gave them was too much. I gave them too much to do, and I gave them what they needed, which isn't really what they wanted. Although everyone wants new customers, where they're really struggling is in the sales department. I think people are afraid to sell, and they get in and realize, oh no, that's not what I want. That's not really the problem I have. I'm just afraid of success and afraid to, you know, sell what I know people need.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just onboarding a new client in our agency this week, actually yesterday, and she's in the PT space. And she was saying kind of what you're saying, that a lot of them think that it's one thing is their problem, but like they'll think like leads are their problem. Then you'll get them a bunch of leads and then they can't close the leads.
Right.
They can't actually turn them into paying clients. So it's kind of like you're trying to identify what the true pain point is and almost becoming like the CMO, right? In their company when you're trying to diagnose them.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing, I think, for marketing for other clinics or other physical therapy clinics. I see these ads like, oh, we'll get you 20 leads or we'll get you 20 customers. Well, you can get me a ton of leads, but if I can't close them or I don't have a offer that works or that they want, you know, then it's really hard as an agency to get a win because it's easy to blame someone else, right? It's easy to like your program didn't work. Well, it's not the program didn't work. It's you don't have the whole package. You don't know how to sell or close the offer or close the deal. And it's really hard. I think that's what separates a digital product versus a service. It's a service has so many more variables like that. Do you guys see that, you know, with what you're doing?
Because I think with a digital product, right, it is what it is. Like there's no person there to negotiate with. Like, oh, I don't need that. I need this. You know what I mean? So it's like you take it for what it is. And then when you have a service business, it's kind of like there's a person there and you maybe for better or worse, you get more into the weeds and really figuring out what the variables are. So, yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah. And it's harder to pixel a person when they walk through a door, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Cool. So you said at some point you kind of, it sounded like you've maybe got back into the practice a little bit, but at some point you started to step away from the practice more and more. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep. And I did. It was a few years ago. I knew that I got to a point where I knew that in order to help more people, I had to start replicating myself. I had this kind of side hustle as a coaching business that was doing well. And, you know, I could go to sleep or go on vacation. It would make sales, but I wasn't living off of it. It was like extra. And I'm treating patients one-on-one in our business. And I found myself the whole time thinking about all the other things that I wanted to be doing that was multiplying my time. And really at the time, I didn't think about multiplying my time. It's like, it's just much more exciting to do the internet and create something that all of a sudden a bunch of people buy. And it was a lot of fun and it was new. But I got to a point where I did realize that, okay, I can help one person at a time. And people would come in and be like, oh, another person who's come in being told something really negative about their body, like you can never lift more than 35 pounds ever again. Like you've got this herniated disc and it's going to be the thing that keeps you from ever being fit and healthy again, which I know isn't true, but this is what the person has been told. And I just kind of things make me want to bang my head against the wall because I can't stop it. But how can I stop it? I can go and help empower other physical therapists to, you know, speak louder and magnify my message. And so that's when I started hiring other physical therapists to come work in my clinic and setting up. I already had some systems, but I set up systems so that the clinic could run without me so I can go on vacation, but really so I could come across the street and work on creating content for the clinic and for the coaching business and help magnifying the message that I want to share with people.
Now, you said that very like nonchalantly, like, oh, I just created systems and like hired other people. Like, but like, let's be serious. That's a lot of work, yeah. Right? There's a lot of learning that comes in there as well. How did you learn how to like systematize your business and take yourself out of the equation?
Right. Well, the first thing that I did and the first thing that I realized was I'm telling and teaching my patients all pretty much the same thing. So 90% of my patients would get the same kind of lessons from me, like about, you know, exercise and being healthy, drinking water, you know, how to use a ball when your back hurts, to lay on it or lean against it, X, Y, and Z. I said, okay, great. Well, I had at the time I was using AWeber as an email service to deliver a free back pain ebook off my clinic's website. I said, well, maybe I could take these 10 lessons that I want to teach all my patients and put them in an automated sequence. So I set up a sequence that was when someone becomes a patient, they get this welcome message from Dr. LaBauer. And then 2 days later, I get this other message. And then, how are you doing? Are you feeling okay? And I just put together this 10 email sequence. And that was the very first real system that I created that was going to give me freedom, because that meant I didn't have to have those 10 conversations with people. That meant I could go deeper into those conversations with people. And from there, I've since moved to ActiveCampaign, because it's at the time, I don't know what AWeber does anymore, but ActiveCampaign allows me to segment and do different things. And it's a bigger tree, right? For people that don't really understand, it's a bigger tree and I can do more with it. And I've leveraged software to give myself more time. And then I've actually learned from other business coaches and taken courses on what do I need to do to hire people. And so I've put my hiring and training on automated sequences. So there's automated email sequences for each of those pieces. The training isn't as in depth as it could be, but I've got a lot of these repetitive tasks that I do set up to be automated, or I've got videos and video trainings where I'll take someone new, train them through it, give them a book. I've given one of my, the woman that writes a lot of my content or edits my content, does my social media, I've given her the .com secrets book and expert secrets. I'm like, read these backwards and forward. You know, I'm training, passing along this training to them so that I can free myself from all those tasks. And that's the basic systems that I've built out and built upon. Is just trying to figure out how do I get more of my time to spend doing more of what I want to do.
Yeah. And it sounds like you did, you know, all that leveraging technology, right? Yeah. For automation.
Pretty much until I hired someone. And I actually didn't hire a personal assistant, like a physical human way later than I should have. Like I waited way too long, but I was scared because in my business, everyone around me was telling me that it's not going to be successful unless you take insurance. And so I was second guessing myself and didn't think I wanted to take on that responsibility until I realized I started working with some people that I was like, oh, I recognize you're just like me. And yet you hired, you know, 10 people. I was like, oh, I can do that. And it's going to free up my time. And so it was working with other people and paying other people to, you know, and being around other people who are more successful than me. Then I saw, here's my possibility. That's really easy. And I look back and said, well, it's been 5 years. I think I've proven them wrong. Like, it's time to move on and do something else. So
nice. And how much time do you spend? Like, again, it sounds like it's changed a little bit recently, but like in the past 6 months or so, like what's your time split between like the digital stuff and then your actual practice?
Yeah. Pre-coronavirus, it was maybe 10% in the practice and 90%, you know, in my coaching consulting business, because I really would meet once a week with my physical therapy and therapy staff, and once a week with the admin and admin staff. And I would make some content, you know, once a month, do a batch couple of videos, and do a couple other things and answer questions, et cetera. But I'm not treating patients. Now, since coronavirus happened, coaching business has been a whole lot easier to manage and grow. And the physical clinic where we can't physically see people, I've gone back and spent a lot more time in that business, but it's not just little things here and there. We've created 3 new online courses for the business. We've created 3 new lead magnets for the business. We've generated hundreds of leads for the business and new patients when we can't even touch them. And we're, you know, we're not back to 100% capacity, but I would say we're about 60 to 65% capacity and with a lot higher objections. And it's to the point now where I have to spend less. After 3 months, I'm spending less time over there again and back into my content creation mode. Like, I got interrupted yesterday. I was like, hey guys, I know I haven't been creating that much content lately, but I'm doing this other stuff now again, because we're kind of back on track with catching it up to the changing needs and objections and problems that people are having because of the quarantine.
Yeah. So you said content creation. So it sounds like you do a lot of content. You mentioned the podcast and things like that. And like we talked about before we started, like you did a virtual live event back in March, I think you said. Like, how does content play into like your overall like business model? Like, what all do you do and why do you do it?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. The number one thing that I do is video. Like, I love video. It's easier for me to get on video and have a conversation or share something because I can use my hands or my facial expressions. It just comes out easier. My writing isn't that great and I can almost type as fast as I can think, but I start with video and then we'll take a video. So I'll do a Facebook Live or we'll do an Instagram story. And we'll take a Facebook Live and we'll process it into small clips for Instagram or Instagram stories or YouTube. I have a Facebook group of 5,300 people. And once a week, I'll do maybe a 10, 15 minute video in there. And we'll take that and we'll make a video for YouTube out of it, transcribe it, and make it into a blog post. And so now we've got a blog post, we've got inspirational videos, we've got motivational videos, quotes, et cetera. And so that's kind of our number one kind of content funnel or formula, is doing that. I will sit down once a month and do videos just for YouTube and try to get, you know, because there's a different way you talk to people on YouTube, apparently.
Yep.
My kids let me know that. In YouTube, you say, hey, you guys, on Instagram, you talk to one person. I'm the talk to one person, you know, in that mindset where I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you guys, but on YouTube, that my kids tell me, it's you say, hey, you guys, when you're talking to your YouTube channel. So we'll do that separate a little bit just to try to grow over on YouTube for specific search terms. That's the main content strategy, that and doing webinars. I do free webinars.
Cut you off there. So on that, what I would call like organic content marketing, right? So chopping all this stuff up, repurposing it, et cetera. Like, how do you see like direct correlation between like putting out content and generating revenue? Because a lot of people, like, they are like, oh, I made like 10 posts on Instagram and I got like 4 likes and nothing happened. Like, so like, how do you view like content and attributing that to revenue? Yep. And then how long did it take for you to like realize that like content was powerful for your business?
Yeah. So content's really hard to attribute directly to revenue unless it's a sales, it's a sales video. You know, I did daily Instagram stories. Well, when I did daily Instagram stories, I sold more, but I couldn't say I got a direct result or direct feedback. It wasn't like eating a pint of ice cream where you get this sugar high for 15 minutes and you feel terrible. It's like, well, I did this and it was great and people respond. So content is more consistency. And it's being consistent where you are and always creating some value, but also giving a call to action. The call to action isn't always buy, it's send me a message. It's go check out the link, download my thing, here, get my free book. And I can tell you, when I do free webinars and I pitch a course, or I do videos and pitch something free like my book or something else, like I can attribute it directly to sales. But we try to do that in not all the time, every 3 to 5 videos. And for people that don't feel it, you just got to keep doing it, because no one's going to watch your Facebook lives. That's not the point. The point of Facebook Live is to get good on video. It's not for people to watch you live. It's to take that video and put it somewhere else. I mean, I really believe that right now, that 10 people out of 3,500 are going to come on my Facebook Live when I do it at 6:30 tonight in my group. But we're going to take that video and reuse it in so many other places. Then that's what's going to draw people into our world.
So when you said that you can't directly, or it is difficult to, you know, directly attribute, you know, content to revenue directly. And like, what keeps you producing content? Like, is it just like, you just have this like underlying feeling that, hey, this is like warming up people to me and my message? Like, what exactly makes you spend all this time, you know, repurposing this content, doing these Facebook Lives, YouTube videos, et cetera?
It's because I know that the reason people buy from me is because they relate to me. I'm relatable. I'm easygoing. They, and they connect with me. So how do I get them to connect with me? It's, I have to be where they are and I have to share my message and talk to them. And that's what I was saying a minute ago. Like, I got to talk to one person. So my videos and contents are, I'm talking to one person, not to a group of phantom people. And when I do that, then people, the reason it keeps going is people say, hey, Aaron, I saw your thing. That's so helpful. You know, like your videos, your podcast, your thing was the thing that helped me start my business. They haven't given me a dollar, but I've now helped them in some way. That's good enough. Like if I was really in this for the money, I would go and would have gotten a job at the bank getting out of college, because that's where my friend Sam gave up like a $20,000 or $30,000 Christmas bonus in October. You know, I was like, dude, you got 2 more months. Like, I'm eating rice, roni, and noodles over here, sleeping on a couch. Can you just pull this one out and give me $1,000? Because I was trying to race bikes and live in California. It didn't work out. But I'm in there to really help people. Like, just one person, if I can help one person every day or every week, that's really what keeps me going. I also like hearing myself talk. Well, not really, but I like sharing what I know. The only reason I'm here is because I share what I know. I never used to think what I knew was that important, until people said, well, can I pay you for your information? I was like, really? What I have to say? And what I've realized is that the haters and the people that struggle the most are afraid to share what they know, because they think people are going to think they look stupid.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't agree more with that. Now, when you got a lot of people that, for lack of a better word, I'm just going to like lump everybody into like service-based businesses, mm-hmm. right? People that they might, like you ran your own PT practice. Maybe they're a chiro, or they are a massage therapist, or maybe they own like a lawn care company. I don't know. But like, these people that could be experts in their topic because of the knowledge and the skill sets that they possess.
Right.
Now, if somebody is attracted to the idea of taking their expertise and their knowledge online to scale that through a coaching or consulting mm-hmm. business or online courses or whatever it is, like, what advice would you give somebody is like that, like first one or two steps?
Yeah. The number one thing would be to help other people, like share your knowledge, like help other people. And in the process, by answering other people's questions, what you're really doing is finding out, what are the common problems that people have? Okay, so is there a group or forum that I can go to where people already have that problem? You know, maybe. Or if there's not, then I need to create that group and say, hey, you know, this is the group for people that, you know, have back pain when they run, or want a green lawn and love to do it themselves on the weekend. You know, it's like, I need to create a place where people with the problems I want to solve are, so I can figure out what it is they really want and value. And first, it's like giving, and giving is not always tangible. It's just helping people along. But in that process, I'll find, what are those common questions and problems? And then I can go. And then step two would be to create something that they want that solves those immediate problems, whether it's a video sequence, an ebook, or something where they'll give me their name, phone number, and email address in exchange for it.
So get out there, identify the problems, and then create something that solves the problems right. for that audience.
Right. Because as the expert or someone who's been doing this for a long time, I know what people need, but they might think they need something completely different. They may not want what I know they need. So I have to figure out what do they want. And when I figure out what they want, then I can sell them what they want, give them what they need. You know, I need to find like the big problem. And so the bigger the problem we find and solve, the more money and impact we make and have.
I really like that, what you just said there, sell what they want and give them what they need.
Yeah.
That's super powerful.
Right.
And, you know, another thing that people need to always remember is when you solve one problem, more than likely you're creating another problem, mm-hmm. right? It's just like waterfall effect. Like, okay, like what we said earlier, like, okay, I got you 20 leads. Next problem is now I have to teach you. And now maybe there's possibly another service or coaching or something. I can show you on how to close those leads, right? Solving one problem creates another problem. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, especially in like service businesses, like they fail to realize that normally solving something creates a different problem.
Yeah. I tell my coaching clients, I'm like, look, it's not my job to solve all your problems. I solved my job to give you better problems and money-making problems, you know, good, like, where do you go on vacation? Who do you hire? You know, like, et cetera, you know,
there's always
problems.
Absolutely. That's super cool, man. So to wrap this thing up here, where can people learn more about you and what you've got going on and maybe funnel hack your webinars or whatever they want to do?
Yeah, the best place to find me is probably on Instagram at Aaron LeBauer or my website, aaronlebauer.com.
Awesome. So I'll link that up in the show notes below. Any last words of advice or anything for people going through this pandemic right now, like just any words of wisdom or anything that might help somebody just keep going or take that next step?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have an idea and you know what you want to do, like if you get that far, then what you need to do is figure out how fast am I going to get there? And usually the fastest way there is paying someone to help you so that you can improve upon the process, not try to reinvent the process. So that's why, you know, I work with coaches and that's why I hire people to help me do different things, because it's just going to get me to the solution, which is helping other people faster than just trying to sit around and wait for it to happen on its own.
Yeah. And that's a really hard thing, though, in the beginning for people to comprehend the fact that, you know, money buys speed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. It's time. It's like saving yourself. We're saving ourselves time. It's like I'm not wasting money. I'm not buying a BMW. It's like I'm buying back my time so I can do more. And that's the concept. And it's hard. Yeah, right. It's hard for people to grasp. It's like, no one wants to buy my thing. I'm like, they do. You just need to buy time.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Awesome, Aaron. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. It's been awesome to chat with you. Everyone, I'll link his contact info down in the show notes below. So be sure to go check that out. And one last thing, you've got a podcast as well. So anyone that is maybe in the PT healthcare space might find some interest in it. So what is that?
Yeah, it's called the Cash PT Lunch Hour. And so it's a podcast for physical therapy business owners, but really business is business. So if you've got a service-based or widget-based business, you're going to find a lot of value there, because I interview a lot of people that are marketing and sales specialists as well.
That's awesome, dude. So I'll be sure to link that up as well. And with that said, Aaron, thanks so much, man.
Dude, thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it. This has been awesome.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. you can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.